Yesterday morning, we celebrated first reconciliation with our little second graders. And we used the Ten Commandments as the examination of conscience for the kids and their parents. That's not unusual because a lot of people use the commandments as sort of a moral checklist for themselves. But I think they do that not so much to admit that perhaps they have been bad, or where they might find room in their life to improve a little bit. But rather, they see that as a chance to kind of pat themselves on the back for how good they've been. For example, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Nope, haven't done that this morning, yet. Thou shalt not steal. Nope, haven't done that. At least since maybe last April 15th, when I might have fudged a little bit on my income taxes. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Nope, no problem there. Thou shalt not kill. Nope, never have even thought about that. And so after going through our little checklist with ourselves, we say, I must be pretty good. And so we give ourselves a little pat on the back and go our merry way. Well, what a contrast there is between all of those shalt nots and then the command that we hear in the gospel this morning to love. The injunctions of the Ten Commandments enable a society to live in relative peace and security, free from things that might threaten the harmony of living next to other people. Things like robbery and murder and adultery. They offer us sort of a protection. But Jesus, in his ministry, by his actions and by his words, makes it clear that they represent those commandments simply the minimum of what's expected in human behavior. But we, as human beings, always kind of like to push the bar a little bit. For example, how fast can I really drive before I get picked up for speeding? Have you noticed how the speeds have increased on I-380 now that they have turned those speed cameras off? You have to ask yourself, isn't speeding wrong, whether you're going to get caught or not? But this morning, we have a new standard that replaces the old. Jesus' followers are to go beyond the minimum. They are to be known by love. Compassion, generosity, forgiveness, those lay at the base of what love is all about. And so Jesus today offers us not protection, but a challenge. And love is not simply a feeling. It has to be seen in our actions. We should be able to see in someone else, and especially in ourselves, what love is all about. And it's spelled out pretty clearly for us in our first reading this morning from the Old Testament book of Exodus. It means going the extra mile, giving not from our excess, but from our own poverty. It means caring for the helpless. And above all, according to the author of Exodus, welcoming the immigrant. Loving our neighbor means much more than just being kind to our friends and our relatives or the person who lives next door. Loving one's neighbor means seeing that the hungry are fed and the homeless are sheltered, that the poor have their basic needs met, that the unemployed do not suffer from want, that the young are educated and the old are cared for, that aliens are welcomed by us. And that requires much more than a minimum effort on our part. It's easy to say, I can't do that. It's much harder to say, I am expected to do that. And when we say that, the possibilities are endless. Why do we love God? Because God is infinite goodness. So then why do we love ourselves? Because we are created in the image of God. And why do we love others? Because they too, like us, are made in the likeness of God, each and every single individual. All of us are endowed with the very same dignity. We can and we should say of others, that person looks like me. That person resembles God. St. Francis de Sales, the great pastoral bishop of Geneva during the time of the Reformation, said this: God demands all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, because our hearts are little. Because we can't give God as much love as we should at least give God all we can. Loving God and loving our neighbor are both one and the same act of faith. That is what Jesus expected of the Pharisees in our gospel. It is also his challenge to us.